Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's Beddys.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
My cat Rachel is the silliest cat I know. One time, she played inside a paper bag for 3 hours. What a mystery. But I'm glad her health isn't. Thanks to the color-changing litter from Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter. This premium color-changing litter has pH-activated crystals that can help me detect potential illness early. That makes it easy for me to stay on top of her health and well-being. I may not understand all of Rachel's silly quirks, but I can keep up with the important things. Find Fresh Step Crystal's health monitoring litter at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay,
when the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone,
or you say,
hang it in there,
because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak,
then this is your sign to call, text, or chat 988 for free, confidential support, anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
The UFL Gambling Podcast Week 1 Reaction Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 different states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their pick'em for a chance to win 100 times the amount of money you can enter in NBA, MLB, NHL, college hoops, and much, much more. Sign up today using the promo code TCESGPN to get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Yes, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. And remember, as always, folks, too, let it ride.
This is Brian Bosworth, a.k.a. The Boz, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother. Peace out. Boz out.
Is this or is this not the XFL? Yes, it is.
Welcome to the UFL Gambling Podcast. I know it said XFL. We're working on music. It is now the UFL. We got a week in the books, and I'm excited to talk shit. I'm excited to, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but and I'm not asking my co-host here, but you can watch the show live on YouTube, youtube.com/the UFL. I mean, I went undefeated on my pick, so I got a lot of BDE Ric Flair energy. If you're wondering who the hell you're listening to, my name is Colby Swiggett, Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price. But no one touches Dundee.
Week one in the books, we had centers catching 40-yard touchdowns. We had kickers that had never kicked since high school, making big-time kicks twice in a row. And just good play. Fun league. Except for that bullshit in the dome. I'm joking. It was just still a good game. Sort of joking. We're going to go game by game, recapping it all. I am joined by, and folks, give us a follow on Twitter at UFL Gambling Pod. But I am joined by the host of the Bottom Line Bombs podcast, some know him as the Man in the Box, a.k.a. the Bet Detective. Give it up for C.J. Sullivan. How you doing?
Great, great first weekend of games. We all did well with our picks. I don't want to brag about of course it helped my prediction of DC, not DC's demise, but I said they're going to have a slow start, DC, and we did take the outright loss. But that fake punt, which was the play of the weekend, touchdown to the center, the Bet Detective was on. Bet Detective sniffs out a little bit. First of all, how is he eligible?
No. He's eligible because he wasn't actually the center on that play.
Yeah, I know. They put him out on the guard. I saw that too, but something still says fishy. And then it looks like he could easily been tackled at the five. And I think the defender let him score because he had to complete the play.
I will say that. I think he actually got tackled at the one. They didn't give us a replay.
Yeah. They were like, let's get this to halftime. This has to be a touchdown. We can't have this be all for nothing. It was a bit fishy, but it was great. We had to celebrate with Wade and his yellow shirt. Old Gramps, we dressed Gramps up, and the yellow shirt, he looked like a number one, like world's greatest grandpa shirt out there.
Well, I don't get a day of brain, mate.
We are also joined by third man in the booth, the host of the Old Fashioned Football Podcast, which you should be subscribed to as well. Give it up for Justin Mark, a.k.a. J-Mark. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. Glad football is back. And I think what CJ really meant is we all saw that Jordan Tamu is exactly who I said he was, right? I mean, come on. He did not look good. He looked exactly like he did in the championship game last year.
Well, they were messing with him. I bring Stormin in mid-series and they bring him in there. And Tamu threw a pick out of spite. Fine, you're going to put me back in? Here's a pick immediately.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that because I don't know that it's all on him. But I know you hate him. I know you secretly hate him. It's okay. Both your guys lost. I think the thing that jumps out to me. I mean, I hate to just go right into this. Besides going 4-0, you know, I feel like I got in a lot of arguments over the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Even throughout the season last year, when I said, I get it, the XFL is more exciting for a fan standpoint. They have fans there. It's more exciting. But I thought from watching every game that I thought they were more gimmicky. They didn't have, when I watched the USFL, I thought they were a better style of, like, better football teams. I thought they were better football teams. And I think so far now, and they didn't even take the best teams in the USFL. Like Philadelphia and New Jersey are better than Michigan and Memphis.
Get your point, Dundee. We get it. They're not bringing in the bad. They're bringing in the bad teams. We're going over that.
No, but this is, look, if you look, there's a lot of the same players. Now, Birmingham even took hits. Yeah. Alex Magoo's gone. Scarborough's gone. Their top two wideouts are in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Thaddeus Moss is gone. You know, they took some hits, right?
Right.
They fucking dominated and both USFL. So we had only two USFL games against XFL teams. And I can't help. And I shout out to Scooby Wright, AKA Shark Dog, friend of the program. I know he tweeted Pat McAfee because McAfee had the Rock on. He was saying, you know, the quality of play is better in the XFL, which I just think he was doing it to cater to the Rock.
Of course.
I mean, dude, like the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. And the two games where we had them, the thing that jumped out to me was the line of scrimmage. The line of scrimmage, they destroyed them. Both teams averaged 5.1 yards a rush. Mm-hmm. Michigan, 5.1 yards a rush against St. Louis. And I know that they needed a 64 yarder to win that game, but really Michigan was the better team all day. So I don't want to hear, like, if some people say, well, they needed a 64 yarder. Well, okay. St. Louis also needed a 4th-and-10 conversion. And then Birmingham also 5.1 yards per carry, but the other side of that coin, St. Louis only rushed for 62 yards. Arlington only rushed for 59 yards. This is what I'm talking about. And this is why, like, as much as you want to say that, like, I get it, passing the football has evolved, but you still look at it. I want to say it was 12 of the 14 teams that made the NFL playoffs. All but one were in the top half, the top 17 in rushing yards. We see it with Michigan. We see it with Georgia in college football. The teams that run better will win the fucking game for the most part. And I thought it was domination on both games. Like, I know the Michigan game was close because they fucked up, but from the, if you just watched the line of scrimmage, I thought it was evident one team was getting their ass whooped. J-Mark, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think we were both kind of on this, the fact that the USFL ran the ball better. It's nice to see it play out in an actual game, in my opinion, because it was something that it seemed like it as we were watching. It's like, they're so much more efficient on the ground than you get in an actual game. And there's a night and day difference there. And I don't know what leads to that. I mean, they're pulling from the same pool. So your lines should be the same. Your running back should be the same, you know, but USFL can run the ball a lot better.
I thought they just don't, like, especially the Birmingham game. I mean, you look at the yardage in that game, just in general. They had 183 yards on the ground at 5.1 yards a carry. That's some Ron Dayne Wisconsin Badger shit. From, like, you know, you're getting 5.1 yards a carry and you're running for that many yards. Dominating performance there. And once again, that was like with they did. I know that they returned a lot of their offensive line. CJ Marable's back. Ricky Person Jr.'s back. But they are breaking in brand new wideouts with the exception of Kane. Okay, Sternberger's back, but there are some guys that are new, and for them to just pick up where they left off, I think is a testament to Skip Holtz and the Stallions. They look dominant. They look far better than anyone in this fucking league, to tell you the truth. Like, CJ, your thoughts on that game specifically?
On Birmingham?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we said, well, besides Luis Perez looking good early on, you're right. They are too much. They're the cream of the crop, and you're right. And you're right about your overall points about the USFL teams having a superior offensive line and just established that that's the way they built their teams. I think that's they did that intentionally.
Well, I just feel like in general, like when I watched I wanted the XFL to succeed last year. I wanted any of these spring leagues to succeed. I just thought it was gimmicky. It was like. Yeah. It was a lot more gimmicky. And when you watch the USFL, it's like, man, I think they're going to fuck them up if they were to ever play. Now, I didn't know they were going to merge, but I just thought Birmingham was way better. I took Michigan money line because I thought their physicality could be an issue, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Michigan was getting after it at St. Louis. What? They almost went scoreless in the first half. They got 3 points, I think, at the very end of the second quarter. But, yeah, I mean, I guess let's go game by game on this. Let's start off.
I will say in the defense, Birmingham is better than everyone in the USFL too. I mean, they're better than everybody.
But I would argue, I mean, me and J-Mark were talking a little bit before he jumped on, and like the Generals, who aren't even a team anymore. I thought they had the best offensive line in the UFL or the USFL last year. They're not even a team anymore.
Well, I was just going to say they took the wrong XFL teams too. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, we don't know what the books are in financials. Why
yeah, Seattle should have been in. Yeah.
Seattle should have been in. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter, but like it is what it is. Yeah. Certainly not these San Antonio's and Houston teams in there. Hell, I would have thought we were even like the Orlando.
Well, Houston was a USFL team. That was a USFL team. Yeah. And they took the worst one, but let's just go one by one here. Stallions 27, Renegades 14. The Renegades got out to an early lead. But Matt Corral and even Adrian Martinez was able to run the ball pretty successfully. 3 rushes, 52 yards. You know, that's the one thing that jumped out without, I know Bo Scarborough didn't play much last year. The year before was when he was super dominant. But as the game went on, Marable and Person Jr. became more of a factor. Early on, they were doing a decent job bottling up those guys. Maybe it has something to do with some of the new personnel. I'm not sure, but it seemed like by the third quarter, they were getting, you know, substantial plays left and right for positive yards, especially like even in the short passing game. And Matt Corral is going to be a stud in this league. Like, come on, right before the half, that throw.
That changed the game.
That did change the game. I mean, he's a very good quarterback for these, like with Skip Holtz. Skip Holtz is very good at keeping it very vanilla. I've mentioned this a few times on the show, but I really think like Corral and Holtz is going to work out. I think they might even, he might even be better than Mago because of how simple he'll keep it. And just his raw talents, is probably more athletic than Mago. Mago is actually pretty athletic, but I don't know. I just feel like the watch out. Cause if we thought last year's team was good, which I think this team has the potential to be even better, even though I think they're a little worse at wideout. I think they're a little worse at wideout than a year ago. They lost both their wideouts a year ago to the NFL. Austin Watkins, who's on the Eagles, and Davion Davis, who's on the Redskins. So, you know, that I think is something to monitor throughout the season. But the defense, Scooby Wright was out there making plays. Defensive line looked good. Secondary looked pretty good. I just thought they were the much better team. Just watching the game early on, they were able to get him. I think they had a busted coverage on the Perez deep ball, but yes. Besides that, I think it was pretty evident that they were just much better. Your thoughts on the game, CJ?
Well, I was just going to say, well, first of all, let's not slander Perez here. And that's J Mark's job anyway. busted coverage and busted coverage. As we said last year, all during that's part of this league. I mean, busted coverage is part of the territory, just like red zone turnovers. You get mad at that. No, that's going to come with the territory. You got to know that coming in, you know, you're going to get that. So you can't really, I mean, not that you have to handicap it in, but you can't create your own narrative of what you think is going to happen, especially in this league, because you know, it's a lot of stuff's going to be sloppy. And it was the first game of the season, but yeah, for clear, it was domination. And it took a little while for Corral to get going. And once he did start clicking, you can see the talent that's there. And they're going to be more dangerous. I think it could be even an upgrade at quarterback for them.
Yeah. Well, and to me, the another thing is the over should have hit, you filthy piece of shit. I mean, what three, it, I think two were technically in the red zone, but the third one was right on the cusp of the red zone turnovers. Yeah. And then you had the missed field goal by Blewett. I took the over in this game thinking it would hit. I did lose on that, but
I think he has to change his name. You know, I mean,
ever since that Pitt Duke game,
yeah. To say Chris Blewett.
It's already manifested. Waiting. Yeah, the announcers are just waiting to say it. Chris Blewett. You know, that hurt some on the over. Okay, we got it.
But dude, if you look into the yardage on this, I mean, Birmingham had 409 yards of offense, 6.4 yards per play. Mm. Arlington put up 262, and I feel like a lot of that was in the first half. John Chavez did a great job in the second half with adjustments. J-Mark, what'd you make of this game?
Yeah, I'll throw some Luis Perez slander in there. YouTube didn't teach him how to play very well when he was getting pressured a lot. And that's where his game falls short, in my opinion. That's one of the reasons I'm always after Luis Perez. When you start putting pressure on him consistently, he does not look like a very good quarterback. But yeah, I mean, this we all kind of expected the Stallions here to dominate. CJ and I right on the under there. Sorry, Colby. About the only thing you missed this weekend, though. But also, big shout out to CJ's Deion Kane call in his DFS. That guy picked up right where he left off last year.
The entire since you brought it up, I wasn't going to bring it up until I was my next turn to talk, probably. But I put in a lineup the same lineup I gave out to everyone here, and I didn't change one thing. Same exact lineup I gave out. Came in sixth place out of 780 or something like that. Unfortunately, it was only a $5 contest, and I'm tilted more that I didn't win any money. I won like $80, but I'm like, God, if that was your normal $100 tournament, I could almost get, you know, four figures, whatever. Yeah. But still feels good. It's six out of 759. It's a good way to start the season. So follow along for our DFS plays. We all did well with the DFS.
Oh man, I think I would have placed in some solid money had one player not just completely shit the bed, which I'll talk about in a minute here. But folks, I want to tell you that right now you are listening to Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And of course, you know, this is the UFL gambling podcast, all the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, all are completely free. This week's featured show is the MLB Gambling Podcast. Baseball is back, and so is the MLB crew with their daily free picks podcast. If you aren't subscribed to the MLB Gambling Podcast, what are you waiting for, folks? Play ball and get on over there and subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast. All right, we are back talking UFL. I gotta hop down to the next game because I feel like this is where I really look like a fucking genius. And I just want to talk shit to J Mark here because I told him this pussy ball with Tony Meatball ain't going to work. Michigan's defense is fucking grimy. I like it. One could wonder if EJ Perry just doesn't throw a couple picks. If they don't throw a forward pass, I think they'd probably win 21-7 or 21-3 or something. If they just stuck to the basics. But this game I think some people would say their favorite game of the weekend based on the endings. You know, a lot of drama down the stretch as the Battle Hawks battled back, took a lead, then got the 1-point conversion to grab the lead. But the Panthers then returned a kick and basically made a kicker who hadn't made a kick since high school made a 64 yarder.
He made two of them. I mean,
yeah, unbelievable.
They froze him and he made it. Then he drilled it again. Like, oh, he's not gonna do that again. He drilled it even better, dead straight, 64 yards. Could have been good from 70. Like, oh, hasn't attempted one since high school. Hasn't attempted one since high school. What the hell has this guy been doing with his life? Is he Roy Hobbs? Has he been shot in his stomach and he's been missing for 15 years? What do you mean he hasn't attempted in high school? Then J Mark told me he played soccer. What kind of American is he?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, a lot of times they say, "Oh,
why is this guy in the league?"
I heard Jay Feely talk about this. The kicking's so much better these days. Well, it's easy when you're in a dome. It's a lot easier when you're in a dome. But still, 64 yards is 64 yards. Holy shit!
Sure, to win the game, like within pressure situation, you know, it wasn't just that. There's kicks all around the league though, too. The other guy hit like fucking drilled like a 75.
Yeah, DC's kicker was on point. Yeah. Now this one. Pretty hilarious too, because you know, Michigan, I know we shit on their offense, but they got 6 yards per play on offense. They just shit the bed a lot, with their turnovers. St. Louis 4.4 yards per play on offense. Michigan outgained them by only 19 yards. But to me, the real deciding factor here is St. Louis couldn't run for shit. 20 rushing attempts for 62 yards. Look at Michigan. They had 22 rushing attempts for 112 yards, 5.1 yards of rush, as I alluded to earlier. They were the more physical football team. And that's why I couldn't believe they almost lost this game, because I think if you just watched the line of scrimmage, I know I was texting you guys. I was like, oh, Michigan's fucking them up on the line of scrimmage. Like, they're fucking them up on the line of scrimmage. McCarron's has got talent. McCarron had a deep ball that should have been six.
Yeah.
Should have been six early in that game that he missed. But besides that play, I would say Michigan's defense, Nacua, as I know, you know, J Mark had texted us saying, man, he's a dog. Michigan got after it. And I think that they're, you know, and what's crazy is they did this without, you know, remember Corbin was a good running back for them last year. They didn't even have Corbin on this year's, you know, roster. He retired. Hey, Panthers 1-0, Mike Nolan, J Mark, your thoughts?
Well, I think, I don't know if they can sustain that success. I do think their defense super impressive. Their run game super impressive. I thought EJ Perry sucked. He's looked like a backyard ball kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
Staring down your receivers. His only good times was when he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But I mean, more disappointing was just how the Battle Hawks showed out. I mean, they should have had the better receiving crew, and they moved the ball in the air all right, but and just that run game, it was terrible. I mean, you got Wayne Train Gallman, who an NFL talent, who he couldn't get anything going. So maybe they need to look for some fresher legs in him.
Yeah. Tony Meatball too. I thought a couple times, maybe should have went for it a couple times. You know, there's some questionable in-game management there.
The play calling in the red zone was terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible. You can't run the ball on him. So on third and fourth down, let's run the ball. What are you doing?
CJ, what'd you make of this one?
There was a couple, and you're right. And I do think Michigan did deserve to win. I like that. Their defense was impressive, and I knew they were a good defense. I didn't. And Perry was bad, although he did give me 20 fantasy points. He was my fantasy starting quarterback.
You walk that fine line. You walk that fine line.
And if that freak interception in the end zone doesn't happen, I might be in first place here. Not talking about a sixth place roster.
That's true.
Wade Gallman in there. But you're right. Well, Tony Meatball did what Tony Meatball's, what I've been, he's my Luis Perez. I've been calling him from day one. That's exactly what Tony Meatball does. Right? And it's not a shocker to me that Tony Meatball has a pick like that. But and Marcel Aitman with the touchdown. He was also my to be considered list. So I put on the DFS who had the touchdown. I thought St. Louis was going to luck box their way into a win like they do at the beginning of the season. They're a team that picks up steam as they go along as well, though. And AJ McCarron's kids got to see him lose on the road. It's in front of everybody in the Ford Field.
And to me, like you never want to see your quarterback averaging just 5 yards of completion. That means everything was check down city. He was not able to complete a lot of deep passes to really, you know, get that defense, you know, off edge essentially. But
I will say I joined J Mark. This was my only loss. I did have the Battle Hawks because I thought, and when AJ missed that deep connection early on, I felt good. I was like, oh, well, this should be there all day. You know what I mean? And then after that, Panthers like locked up and he didn't even attempt anything downfield. It seemed like the rest of the game.
That's what's hilarious is we shit on EJ Perry. And I agree. We should. He only completed 50% of his passes. Now McCarron's almost completed, you know, close to 65%, but everything was checked down city. At least Perry was averaging 7.3 yards of completion. So like taking more shots down the field. It's surprising. And that's a stat I would have not bet on. Like even though I had Michigan, I thought Michigan could win that game outright. I did not think I thought it'd be reversed. I thought EJ Perry's, you know, would be averaging 4 to 5 yards of completion and McCarron's would be the one stretching the field.
One thing I'll say for any of the listeners, watch the live bets on these, because when it was 15-9 and St. Louis was getting the ball back and they still had like, what, 5 minutes left in the game, I think. St. Louis was plus 500 on the money line. I know they didn't win, but plus 500 completely worth that risk for me.
Yeah.
And there were 24 points in the game. The over under was 26.5 at plus 220. I mean, a lot of value there. I jumped on both of those. So watch those books, because I feel like they don't pay super close attention to the UFL as much as they would like the NFL, you know? So opportunity to make some money there.
That under hit for me.
We're all on this under. This was an easy under. Was this the highest total or was it the DC was the highest total?
I think DC, But dude, I think they might like... We'll see what Birmingham becomes. I think this is the best defense in the league.
For sure. But they don't have enough offense.
Right, I know. Now. They're not a contender because of their offense. But
that kicker, I mean, he kicked a 52 yarder as well, Bates. It wasn't just that. I mean, this guy, I don't understand.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about Sunday's games. But before I do that, I want to tell you the UFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 different states. P2P social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users of sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, plus a ton of fun social features that give it a feel of a betting social network, so to speak. And Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. You can create your own bets. And Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. Download the Cut app today or go to cut.com. That's KUTT.com. Use that promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick whether your favorite player will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. I know right now it's a Monday. So we got the women's NCAA tournament going on. Caitlin Clark, CJ likes the higher than 9.5 assist. J Mark, you're in the state of Iowa. Do you agree that higher would be the play there?
Oh yeah. Take higher on everything she does.
Exactly. She's definitely going to run for governor at some point in her life of Iowa. I like mixing that with Milk Chamberlain, the Indiana State star center, who's playing tomorrow in the NIT over, 16.5, or I'm sorry, higher than 16.5 points per game or points in the game. You can win up to 100 times the amount of money you enter in a single night with Underdog Fantasy. And look, all you got to do is pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. With each player you add, your odds go up. So sign up today with the promo code TCESGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com, find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with the promo code TCESGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. All right, we are back on the UFL Gambling Podcast. Shout out to the chat. Shout out to the 161 people watching along. Hit that like, hit that subscribe button. Overall, man, I really thought the games were pretty decent. Now, I thought Saturday's games were better than Sunday's. I don't know if you guys, like, just from a viewing standpoint, I thought they were, they had a little more bang to them. But one of the things, so we had the Brahmas take down the Defenders 27-12. I was on the Brahmas. This game, I thought the over would hit in this game. It did not. But the Brahmas got it done. And really the thing that jumped out to me, I had to go back and really take a look. You know, this DC Defenders team is kind of like a brand new offense. There's not many players that were on the team from a year ago. And I am a huge skeptic of DC moving forward because I thought the offensive line was horrible. I thought, you know, this just does not look like, besides Jordan Tamu, the coaching and DJ Swearinger, there's not many guys that were on this roster from a year ago. It's not like Birmingham, which makes me a huge skeptic because now, granted, unfortunate situation. If you really dive into the numbers, it, you know, from a yardage standpoint, I thought Greg Williams made great adjustments in the second half. They really shut down this offense in the second half. However, it was a pretty even game. The score is a little bit misleading from a yardage standpoint, but San Antonio was the better team. Make no mistake. J-Mark, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. I mean, Chase Garbers shocked the hell out of me that he did so well. But part of that, I think, is that AJ offense. I mean, we saw last year his offense, they started fast the first 3 or 4 games. I don't know if that's going to remain consistent. I don't know if they can stay this good, because if you watch a lot of their plays, they're very similar. If you cover the running back or that first read, which is usually the slot guy like Jonte Kirkland, you can probably slow this offense down. So I think they're going to have to mix it up to become a little bit less predictable there. I kept watching it and it's like, oh, didn't hand it off. He's throwing to this guy. And then he would, it's very predictable. And then, Tamu 25 for 45, 1 interception, 2nd worst quarterback rating.
Some of that was the O-line though. I know you like to shit on, but the O-line was like, I thought last year, and I'd be curious. And I thought DC kind of had the best of O-line last year. That did not look like the case to me.
Yeah,
watching this game,
they missed Abram Smith,
but they couldn't run the ball, man. Like they were just,
I mean, like Harris, you know, they didn't really try as much either. But when Abram Smith, he would get 20 carries. He was a real bell cow, and with like they just didn't, you know,
Harris 13 rushes for 44 yards. 13 rushes. Yeah,
I mean, free Puka. I mean, he does the kick return. He had 1 run rush for 9 yards. How long are we going to sit on this phenom, for crying out loud? Let the lawnmower man loose. Hold on. mowing off his toes. Get the lawn. Let's let Puka loose, for crying out loud. What are we doing, Barlow? Punting from the 50 on his first drive. Talk about kicking the coaching decisions, by the way.
What was that? That was a 4th and 5, though, right? Or what was that?
4th and 1, my friend.
Oh, yeah. He did it again then, I think, with the... No, they might have got bailed out because of a penalty.
With the new razor. Now, this, by the way, this game alone... Now, it wasn't much closer game than the score set, but the right team did win.
Yes.
But it did turn with that whole Spitgate situation down there.
Yeah. What is that?
That was insane. First of all...
It's like the water bottle all over again.
I know. And then the spit is such a crime, and it's such a, you know, it's got like fucking like, I mean, it's got like history to it. You know, it's got racial overtones where people are, you know, are strung up and thrown out of the league if you do it. That is like the least thing that's happening with these people going, you know, smashing on each other. And so, you know, all kinds of fluids being exchanged, but oh God, he spit on me. That's it. 50 yard penalty, an extra point. And while we're at it, let's review if there was a false start. Hey, Dino Blandino, can you review that? No, you can't.
I thought we got rid of him. When I saw on Saturday, I was like, oh, Mike Ferreira. Okay. We're good. Yeah, Mike Ferreira.
No. Dino Blandino's his whole center up there. This is a good time to remind any new fans here of the UFL. Dino Blandino was never a referee. Rebels. He was a former comic in New York who just fucking swindled his way to a TV job. And all of a sudden, he's the expert up there. He's got his whole team, and it's a Dean show we got to be a part of. And he's wrong.
Well, what did he say last year again? We got to watch it at game speed. We got to watch it at game speed. I'm like, what are you talking about? Replay's point is to not watch it at game speed. Yeah. You fucking asshole. Right.
The TVs can't have an advantage over the human. So
how about the 5 minutes he spent reviewing the one false start? Oh, that God. Was a false start. It's like, right. It's obvious after it's the like, first.
Okay. Week, move it's obvious. Why? Oh man. One thing that did jump out to me, guys, it sucks that Anthony McFarland's on this team that doesn't run the ball, because I think he's the best running back in the league. Like you put him on Detroit and goddamn, they might win the whole thing. How do you only give him the ball 9 times when he's averaging 5.2 yards a rush? That their whole team only, the rest of the team's average, by the way, brought him down. The team only averaged for 3.3 yards a rush.
Well, I mean, he did have that reception for 30 yards, which was kind of a
screen. But you just got to get him the ball. He's the most dynamic player in the league, I feel like.
Which is how he scored on that touchdown. I like this stat. 28 yards receiving on that one catch, 34 yak yards. Just getting more like Tecmo Bowl style. He went backwards just to hit people and then he scored in the end zone.
I loved him when he was at Maryland, and I think he's got potential to be like your bell cow back, but they run the air raid. I don't think it's a good fit. I don't think it's a good fit for him. I think you put him on one of the other teams, and I mean, we'll see if Wade Phillips, who I never trust as a good head coach, I think he's a good defensive coordinator, will he realize the talent that he has there and say, hey, we got to start committing to the run more? Because this is a guy that started drafted Tommy Maddox to say, hey, he's going to take over for John Elway, right? This is a guy that started Rob Johnson over Doug Flutie in the playoffs, cost the Buffalo Bills a game. I don't know that he's going to have the wisdom to do this, but this guy's, dude, you saw it on that screen. You saw it on a couple runs. Right. I was like, he's better than everybody on the field.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they wanted to platoon him with Lovett, I guess, you know, from the his Vegas Viper days. I don't know why Lovett gets so much love. It's McFarland made my DFS squad. He still looked good. It's just kind of, I think, the way of the world here, with especially in these leagues, they platoon to get everyone involved, you know, a little league style. They don't want to, no one wants to be worked into the ground here. And it's very rare are people getting, that bell cow treatment. And if they were like your Abram Smith, and then even then towards the end of the season, they started weaning off of them.
You saw the USFL do that with Victor though. And with Mark Thompson. Yeah, and,
for sure.
And you know what this reminds me of is in the first season of the USFL's coming back, Kevontae Turpin emerged with the Generals, and Mike Riley would do things creatively. He would say, oh, they're going to do a reverse. They're going to do, you know, jet sweeps, anything they can do to get, cause he jumped off screen. You just said, I remember, you know, me and my brother texting when we were watching the game. We're like, I don't know who the fuck that is, but he's better than everybody on the field. That is what the same vibe I got from watching McFarland on a few plays. I was like, they need to give him the ball every fucking time. J-Mark, your thoughts on McFarland and this game?
Oh yeah, I mean, he definitely looked like the real deal. The little stutter step and everything on that long run. I mean, it's like, who's this guy think he is? But yeah, I to CJ's point, I don't understand why you give Lovett 10 carries and McFarland only 9. That makes zero sense to me, because you can see just from their average, Lovett with 1.3, McFarland with 5.2, who should be having 15 to 20 carries.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a bit mind numbing. I thought the Greg Williams defensive adjustments were very key. If it wasn't for that interception, you know, they basically put the kibosh on the Brahmas offense in the second half. If they play again, I think that could be a concerning thing. Is like, it seems like he figured them out. It was just too late. You also had that trick play where the guy's down at the, in my opinion, like it seemed like he got tackled at the 1 yard line.
And it seemed like he waited to tackle him. I don't know. He seemed he could have easily just jumped on his legs right to right the five. And I mean, I don't know. The Bet detective sniffed something. And I, yeah. you know, and I was on the Brahmas, but I didn't, you know, it was just,
well,
it
they had their problems in short yarded situations too. So it would have made it very interesting.
When there was 2 seconds, the clock was about to run out too. It was 2 seconds.
Yeah.
More than interesting.
They didn't show it. My biggest thing is they didn't show us the side replay. And I'm like, every other play, they're showing us the side replay. I'm pretty certain when I saw it in real time, I thought he was down at the one. Mm-hmm. But
UFL week one debut doesn't look as good if the guy gets down at the two or the one. It looks much better as a touchdown.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The play of the weekend, they already had the thick six graphic ready to come up. You know what I mean? Like they were going to stop now.
I think you're onto something here. And then the finale, we all locked this one up. I did hit my lock and my dog. Mm-hmm. This one. Okay. I know I said a bunch of good things about the USFL. However, I'm very concerned about both these teams, but specifically Houston. Houston's that I power ranked them in the preseason as my eighth ranked team.
All right.
They are still going to be the eighth ranked team because watching them now the defense might have a few playmakers, but this offense can't block for shit. Guantanamo Bay. I almost felt sorry. He was holding onto the ball a little too long also, but they couldn't run the ball. I know Mark Thompson didn't play, Pledger played, but still, I don't know that they're going to have success running the ball. I kind of like a couple of the guys on their defense side of the ball. Reuben Foster, obviously was big. Toby Johnson, also former general that played well. I feel like the score is deceiving in this game too, because I feel like Memphis owned this game. I mean, Houston only had 174 yards of offense. Memphis, I'm concerned though, for a team that's this talented, their run blocking was awful. 1.8 yards a rush. The reason why I didn't cash anything on my DFS lineup was because Darius Victor didn't do diddly poo, to quote Jim Mora there. Dude, amazing. I mean, if it wasn't for Carnell Lake's defense, I was surprised that Memphis struggled this much. Vinny Papale with a great touchdown in this game. But
I tell you, he did do something. Vinny Papale Jr. from Delaware. he hit top of the toe.
Case Cookus, though, I mean, to go back to our McCarran's.
Cookus looks fine.
He's still only 5 yards of completion, though, man. Know, he threw the ball 40 times. Who the fuck is this team? I was surprised they threw the ball that much. But at the same time,
It was an ugly game.
With Darius Victor and Titus Swin, 14 rushes, 3 yards. Cookus and Davis, the wideout, got all their rushing yards for them. They only had 34 yards rushing. I am very fucking concerned. I still think they're, you know, if they can fix that, they could be very good. But that's a red flag right now for me. And I'm surprised they threw the ball that much. J-Mark, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I didn't think Cookus looked that great last year. I said I didn't think he looked as good as he did year one.
But he was coming off an injury, remember? He was coming off. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think he looked that great in this game. I agree. The running, especially when you have Darius Victor, I know he's getting up in age as far as running backs go, but this dude's a bowling ball. And when he carries the ball 10 times for 3 yards, he can fall farther than that normally. So that's how bad your run blocking is. But I agree. If they can clean that up some, I'm really curious between week one and week two. We saw a lot of transactions last year. A lot of guys cut, a lot of the reserve guys picked back up. I'm curious to see if we see that again this year. And for Memphis, if I'm Memphis, you're looking at the guys that you had in camp on the O-line and say, somebody can block better than this, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got it. To me, you know, I power rank them at number two in the preseason.
Yeah, no.
I don't know that I can have them number two until I see that figured out. But I mean, it is just one game, and maybe, and you know what it could be too, is Houston might just be that good on the defensive side of the ball. Like there were plays where Houston's defense was looking really fucking good. It was either that or Memphis's offense was that bad. Obviously Reuben Foster was an animal in that game. But I thought for a second, I was like, man, if they backdoor this bullshit, because Memphis was dominated this game. They dominated this game. But yeah, CJ, your thoughts on this one?
They did, and I relearned real quick. Not this game, but maybe it was just the defender game. Yeah, defender Browns game. How open that back door is in this league.
Yeah.
Like I forgot about the offside, the extra points. Like, you're up 15 means absolutely nothing. That's just a standard drive down the field. So the back door was definitely open. But listen. Memphis was all of our locks. It felt like it was in control the entire game. I mean, they dominated the time of possession. It almost seemed like they weren't even afraid of Houston doing anything. So I don't know if they didn't open it up, but either way, it was kind of just a dull game way to end this weekend out. The right team won, but yeah, also there's some red flags going up for this Memphis team. That's for sure. I'm not too overall confident with them. I mean, those are ugly numbers. You know, like you were saying, like J Mark was saying about Victor, 10 rushes for 3 yards. I mean, that should never happen. I know he did have 5 catches and they targeted him that way. And he had like 30, 40 yards that way. They utilized him there, but like he should not have less than 50 yards ever rushing the ball.
I thought they'd be a little more balanced. They have 3 good running backs, in my opinion. I thought they'd be more balanced. They got the win. They survive. We're going to do our power rankings and get out of here. But I was curious. So next week on Saturday, we got Brahmas at the Showboats, followed by Renegades at the Battle Hawks. Then you have the Stallions at Ford Field taking on the Panthers, and then the Roughnecks at the Defenders. Which game is the game you want to see most out of those 4? Is it Renegades Battlehawks? Because one of those teams is going to be 0-2.
I don't think I was looking at the schedule. I don't think Renegades get a win until week 4 or 5 when they play Houston. I don't mean to jump CJ here, jump ahead of him, but for me, it's Stallions Panthers. You have that offense against that defense. I'm excited to see how that pans out and to see if the Panthers can get just a little bit more going on offense to complement that strong defense.
Well, that's the thing. They had their quarterback retire, right? Their starting quarterback retired.
Yeah.
If I'm Mike Nolan or whoever their GM is, I don't know if it's player coached or if it's coach, you know, GM as much as it used to be, but you can find quarterbacks. What league or what? I mean, first off, we know Sloter's out there, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying like we've seen this. I feel like, was it DeAndre Johnson's out there, right? So it's like you can just go get somebody. And I think he's going to be better than EJ Perry. You can still have EJ Perry on that roster for depth, but just you're one player away from being like, I like their receiving core, man. I think their receiving core is a lot better than it was a year ago.
Yeah. As far as the game I'm looking at there, I think you called it right up the top there, Colby, the Arlington St. Louis game. It's in the dome Saturday night. This is what the league wants to show off. They want to show off these fans. I think St. Louis has a big bounce back game, and I want to see if they can bounce back or if there's real trouble with this team. Cause I had them ranked, second, I believe, power ranked before the season. And I was not happy, obviously, with that. Opening effort, I think they bounce back. I mean, obviously they're a much better team at home. That Tony Meatballs and that crazy crowd, AJ and the family. So that's gonna be an exciting game just to see that crowd reaction. Because like I said, like we said, it was a bad scheduling. There's some of these fields like the opening weekend to have like that. You know, it's at Ford Field where it looks like there's 500 people there, and you could do the head count in about 10 seconds. You know, like it's just not a good look. That being said, so that'll be a lit situation that I'm looking forward to. It's a Saturday night game. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, real quick.
I was about to bring that up. Let's go. Fire.
What were you going to bring up? Attendance?
Yeah, go.
Oh, yeah.
14,153
at Arlington, 13,164 at San Antonio, 9,444 at Michigan, and 9,157 at Houston.
All right. Because
they didn't have the gamblers.
Yeah. Didn't have the gamblers. It was also Easter. That's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
Sunday morning. I actually think that's the one that's affected the most. Yeah. I don't know that Houston's numbers would be that bad if that was on Saturday, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. Interesting though. Folks, we're going to get to our power rankings, but before we do that, I want to tell you that the UFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Well, I think, did I already do Hall of Fame bets? Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, a sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit HOFbets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. With Hall of Fame bets. All right.
Can I jump in before we do the power rankings real quick? Just a quick little point I want to make. We had a great weekend. Everyone hit all the bombs. Dundee ran the table, except for a couple of the totals, but hit all four sides. We all hit most of our sides and the money lines. We hit our locks. We hit our dogs. We hit our totals. I just wanted to check. This is the real UFL show. And for these guys on the mothership, you're Sean, Money Green, your
sports Ryan, gambling podcast nonsense.
Yeah, nonsense. And they come in and they poach our information. They get Dundee, they get the headshot, they bring him over there, they suck out all the information, and then they throw their picks at willy nilly and they tell, oh, look at us, 9-0, you know, coming in. And then they come into our, we're buried in the basement in the mail room, and they come down there, hey, when can we get lines for week 2? You know, like the CEO wants another idea, pronto. Like, all right, you know, we're like, yes, sir, the slave master, here are the new lines. Like, we make the lines, you know, I'm just saying, this is where they get the information from. That's what I want to know, that the real UFL show comes on there.
Oh, and I think I had some arguments last year.
There's a Sean Green hacker in the chat room already. Look at that.
I do believe.
He's got bots looking out for him everywhere.
I tried to make this point. Now I know it's only 1 week, but I tried to say like, no, man, one style of football is way better than the style. And we'll see. Can the Stallions run the table, CJ?
I mean, they're definitely the cream of the crop, but can they? Yes. Will they? No. Just like we said, you know, the loss has come out very similar last year with DC. We knew that when they lost to the worst team in the league in Orlando. A game that we actually were on. So that's just the way it goes. But yeah, I mean, can they? Of course. Are they better than everyone? Yes. Will they run the table? No, because I do think this league's competitive enough where it'll be tough week in, week out to do it. It'll be caught on the road. And shout out to Sean Green. Of course.
Oh, man, that
guy. 9-0 is 9-0. But
oh, that bullshit. That over in the first game. Don't get me started. What, three turnovers inside the 30-yard line. A missed field goal by Blewett. I was on the right side. That is a bad, bad beat there. Now, I even say San Antonio is a bad beat, man. At halftime, you were looking great. Greg Williams over there, fucking ace, getting it done. Anyway, power rankings. Should we go worst to first or first to worst?
I like Sean coming in here just to get some blood in the show, get some blood. We'll be fired up and that'll create tension. He doesn't realize how many people we've been yelling at all day with the back to back.
I don't think you guys realize how many people I've argued with on Twitter over the past year over. They're like, these teams are not far off. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. I'm like, I don't know what you watch. I don't know how you watch a football game, but there are telltale signs of of why this team is so good. And when you watch like certain XFL teams, you're like, they're kind of playing pussy ball here, but it's working. They're winning. But when you put to play a really good team, which there's none in that league, you're going to get fucked up.
Power rank.
Eighth. It pains me to say this because I just propped up the USFL, but the Houston, I love how they have an XFL name though, so we can blame it on the XFL. I don't know how you have Houston not eighth. The defense looks all right, but the offense, whew, I got to put them at eighth.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, there's an argument for DC the way they played it, but just with the result wise, but no, I go Houston eighth. They're just terrible.
Same.
Yeah. I think that's probably they're 1-8. I think we're all going to have, you know, we have figured out.
Yeah.
At 7 to me is St. Louis.
I mean, reasonable.
I don't think there. I don't have any faith in Anthony Bennett.
I can't go that far, but go ahead. I'm willing to listen. I love it.
Okay. Well, let's listen.
Yeah.
Because I saw Greg Williams shut down that offense in the second half. That was encouraging to me. Right. Okay. Now I still have a lot of concerns about DC on the offensive side of the ball, but at least I can count on Barlow and Williams to make adjustments. We saw it. I can't count on that from Tony Meatball, right? Their offense and their home crowd, maybe there's something there, but I'm not impressed. I think they're a pussy team personally. I'll put them at seventh.
Yeah, I was kidding about DC, although I have DC around mid pack. I got to put Arlington seventh. I mean, come on. They like you said, like Jay Mark said, as much as I'd like to troll with Perez, once he gets pressure on him, I mean, they know they had a tough quality opponent there. But they're up early, and then they had nothing for a team that was up early. They had nothing. And it seemed like that should have been more of a blowout than what it was for a team that jumped out to an early lead. I thought Arlington actually had more red flags than anyone as far as who put up a reasonable effort that no one's really talking about, kind of under the radar.
Yeah. So we'll see with Arlington St. Louis this week, buddy. But J Mark, who's your seventh ranked team?
I'll do it. I'll put DC down there. They didn't have an offense without Abram Smith. Tamu couldn't overcome the pressure and the mistakes. The offensive line sucks. I know the defensive coach is good. I still have questions about their defensive talent. So yeah, I got them at seven there.
All right. At number six. I think this is where you get, I got DC right now at number six.
Mm-hmm. I still don't have him there just because of respect from Reggie Barlow.
I think that is a huge element there. Like, I think they could quickly jump to three because I do think they're probably, dude, that guy coached in the MEAC and D2 and shit. Like, you have to make adjustments nonstop at that. So I do think if there's a team that I could be off on the most, I think it's DC.
Yeah.
But I think that their offensive line looked really bad.
But we knew there was going to be a big transition. They lost all the receivers. They lost Abram Smith. You know, they have enough in the bank. At least Barlow does, at least for me, where I'll give him time to, you know, figure things out, where I'm not going to say like they have no hope. Like for some teams, I don't look like my sixth team is a team that won. I'm putting Memphis down there. Well, I was less impressed with them, you know, as a winner than I am then with either Arlington or DC, to be honest. Well, so the only reason why I have them ranked above is because they actually did get the win.
I thought Memphis's defense looked pretty nasty though.
Yeah, sure they did. They were playing fucking Houston.
But still, I mean, you can't take that away from them. They still look, you know what I mean?
Oh, I can take it away from him at all.
And he will.
Yeah.
So at six,
you're right. Their defense did look good, but I mean, still, there's a slap on all the paint you want. The house still needs renovations over there for sure. Crying out loud.
So he's got Memphis at six.
Yep.
J Mark, who you got at six?
Renegades. I guess you guys could just say I'm hating on the quarterbacks I don't like in Tamu and Perez by sticking them at the bottom, but Perez is a guy that if you can figure out how to pressure him, I don't think he can win games. But they're not bottom of the pack. Their defense is still pretty solid, and the run game was okay. I think the run game can improve.
Yeah, that's my number five team is Arlington. I still think this roster is better than a lot of other rosters, including a couple ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they played Birmingham. I think we might be overreacting. Birmingham, I think, is just way better than everyone in the league. But based on one, you know, sample size, 1 week sample size here, I think for me at fifth, I still trust that roster though. I still trust that roster. And I think it's better than, like, I trust the physicality better than I do, say, St. Louis. St. Louis, where I worry now, the only thing is St. Louis has that home crowd, but I just think they're a little bit better of a football team than St. Louis. Take it for what it is, one weekend. Who you got, CJ, at fifth?
We're at fifth. I believe I do have St. Louis at this point. I've already ranked Arlington. I've already ranked Houston. I've already ranked Memphis. So, give me St. Louis at five. Another team that I still give them. They have enough in the bank as well where they can right the ship. Once they get home, they're a completely different team. It was a tough fought, ugly battle versus Michigan. And which team I still think is probably better on. I mean, I think if Michigan plays at St. Louis, it's a different result. But for now, it is what it is. I'll put St. Louis at five.
There we go. J-Mark, what are you doing?
Yeah, I got the Battlehawks at five as well. I don't think we're going to really know who this team is until week three, because I think next week they go home and they're going to look really good. They're going to win the game pretty easily. And then week three, they go on the road again against the Brahmas. I think that's when we're really going to say, like, was week one a fluke? Can they only win at home? You know, who is this team? So for now, I got them at five.
All right. At number four for me, I have the Memphis Showboats. Not super impressed, but you got the win. I was impressed with the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball, you got to figure some things out. Mm-hmm. Based on your talent on the offensive side of the ball, I thought they underachieved. But I still say they won. They never trailed in that game. It was a pretty dominating performance despite them almost blowing the cover. They're at number four for me. CJ, where are you going?
I haven't ranked my DC defenders yet, so I want to put them at four. Just like I said, I just think they're having a little transition point, but I'll give them a mulligan for this game. And I think like if it wasn't that Spitgate, I think this is a lot closer game than it appeared to be. So
and when you throw in the kick,
yeah, the kick and
you know, or the punt the pass spit. Shit, you know what I mean?
Punt pass, the spitting, the re-spitting, the false starting, the Dino Blandino. Just get rid of all that nonsense. Let DC and Jordan. Jordan was the MVP last year, for crying out loud. You're talking about, I know J-Mark, that's who he is, you know, the fucking picks, but he also has a lot of good in him too, that he did all year long last year as he led them to a 9-1 team. A little bit. I'll let him bounce back as he's learning his new receiver. So DC defenders, beer snake four, let's go.
Who you got at four, J-Mark?
So I struggled on who to put at three and four here because they were kind of tied. I just couldn't put a team that's led by EJ Perry over the Cookett and Darius Victor team. So I got the Panthers here. I realize they have an excellent defense, but I thought the Showboats looked good on defense too. And I think Cookett and Victor on offense can be better than what Michigan can get out of their players. So yeah, I got the Panthers here.
I like that. I mean, that was the hardest team to do for me was, yeah. And you'll see what I did with them, but I thought that was the hardest team to figure out. For me, at number three, I went San Antonio mainly because do I think this team could end up number two easily if they give the ball to Anthony McFarland more, yeah. They find creative ways to get him the ball, but I just can't trusted yet. I do think that score is a little misleading, and I thought they got blanked in the second half. So I think there was a little bit of concern there, and maybe that's just Greg Williams. But when you play some of the other teams that I think do have good defenses, now obviously Houston doesn't have a good offense, but Detroit could give them some, or Michigan could give them some issues. So I put them at three. CJ.
I don't think this is close. I think I got Michigan at three. I think there's a big gap between Michigan and San Antonio. To be honest, San Antonio impressed me a lot
in the first half.
Their talent jumped off the screen though, and like you said, that is like Greg Williams in the second half. That's another reason why I have DC ranked so high. I like San Antonio. They were 12-1 before that game, and our own friend of the program, Stormy gave them out as for their futures. They were the dog to win it all before the game. You won't get that number again. That's good CLV already. But they look good. They look real good. So I'm talking about Michigan at three. Michigan, and I can see Michigan sliding down. They'll look with that kind of defense. They'll be in every game, but they're going to have ugly games all year. So Michigan's going to be sliding up and down all year. You know what I mean? Their ceiling on Michigan isn't as high as San Antonio's in my mind.
Hear me out for a second on that.
All right.
Lewerke is a true lawn chair. He was just signed like a week ago.
Yeah.
If I trust him to be a better throwing quarterback than EJ Perry. And to me, one of the things that I think he can do is not make turnovers. Like he could be like Chase Garbers to me of like, hey, your job is just to manage the game. Don't make turnovers. And then you blend that with a decent run game and a good defense. Sign me up for it. Anyway,
shout out to you, by the way, as well for calling out Chase Garbers having a good game. Cause I was not ready to believe it. His first game starting in a while. And you're like, no, he's going to, you were on that.
I knew, I'm a college guy, buddy. So I knew about him in college.
I knew full scouting report on Chase and he was good.
Yeah. Yeah. J-Mark, who's your third ranked team?
And third, I got the Showboats. I just think if they can get Cookus looking a little bit better and just get a run game, I mean, that's really what they need to get Darius Victor going, that they could be one of the better teams in this league.
If they were able to get the run game going, they could be the biggest threat to Birmingham to me. Yeah. But after what I watched, I don't know that I can power rank them there just off of, I thought they're, if out of the whole league, to me, the worst offensive line in out of all eight teams, it was Memphis to me. We'll see. Maybe it's just 1 week. Maybe they pick up some guys, like you said. At number two, I have Michigan. I think they have the best defense in the league. I think that jumped out to me week one, that their defense is something to fear. And then you add that kicker to the mix and the fact there's so many domes. He's going to be playing, he's going to be kicking. They don't need, all they need is Lewerke. Just someone did not turn the ball over. You can get 3 points every possession with that. And shout out to the UFL kickoff. Once again, I was enjoying almost every return. But yeah, Michigan's the number two team to me. Their defense, their run game, I think is decent. Even EJ Perry's mobility can be a factor. They should utilize it more. Stop trying to make it like the fucking NFL, Mike Nolan. Take his skill set and maximize his skill set. Said they got him dropping back like he's fucking Broadway Joe.
How did they not know he was going to run into any big play they needed? It was quarterback draw. Like anytime.
That's what
was
I'm saying. Like, but they should right. do more creative shit. QB powers. You know what I mean? Mm. Option read stuff. They should do more that utilize, know who the fuck he is. You know what I mean? He's not the type of guy to throw 40 times a game or whatever. I know he didn't throw 40 times a game, but that's not, he's just not a drop back quarterback.
QB powers.
Yeah. QB powers, man.
Back. I love
get
it.
Get it go. Hey, Cam Newton. They did that shit all the time with Cam Newton.
Really?
You know, what are you doing here? Number two.
I pretty much already tipped it off. I got the Brahmas as my two and we all Birmingham number one. Like I said, their talent jumped off the court. You're right. Second half, not as good, but I think that was more Greg Williams. So I like San Antonio.
J Mark.
I got them at two as well. Honestly, I don't expect them to stay there just because we saw this last year with AJ Smith. His offense looked great. He was making Long John Silver's look good. Right. And Chase Garbers did look really good. I just don't know if it's going to be continued success. But for now, they look the part, and we'll see if they can stay there. So I got them at two for now.
If they utilize McFarland, they could be a real threat to Birmingham too.
I mean, he looked like the best player in the league.
Yeah, I agree.
Skill player, at least.
But do I count on Wade? Do we have faith in Wade Phillips to take advantage of his talents? I don't know. One is Birmingham. We all have Birmingham. There's a chance that I think you could put Birmingham against the Washington Redskins. They could win. Let's go. how big is that gap between one and two?
It's big
for me. Yeah.
You can get one of Jay Mark's RVs in that gap. Park that, no problem.
But you know what it is, man? As I was going through, I think they have more continuity than almost any team.
I think that's true.
I would like I think four out of the five offensive linemen were with them last year. Sternberger was with them last year. Both two of their backs, Marable and Person Jr. Jamar Smith's still on that roster to help the other quarterbacks. The secondary, I feel like Tillery and Burns were have been on that team for a while. Scooby Wright and the other linebacker, Elijah Sullivan, They just have guys that have been there. I think that their defensive tackle too, his name's Tillman. I think he's been there a couple of years. So I think that might be some of it, but also I think the coaching aspect. Anyway, we'll be back Thursday. We think we'll be back when we get lines.
Whenever we whip them up in the dungeon slave mail room for the mothership.
Folks, get on over to YouTube. First get on over to Twitter and give us a follow at UFL Gambling Pod. And I believe that's the same on YouTube, correct, J Mark?
That's correct.
YouTube.com/@UFL Gambling Pod. Yeah, so I fucked that up in the beginning. My apologies. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, and shout out to Simon who says, good show, guys. Come back when you get lines. We will. Until next time, folks, this is the UFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Betty's.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's WITHAGENCY.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Saving money on protecting your garden now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big.